Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Old Lady Speaks podcast on Black and White and Red All Over. I'm your host, Danny, coming to you for episode number 63. And as we hit number 63, we're in smack dab of the middle of an international break, and one where the Italian press has been speculating as to what Max Allegri is up to with a squad full of reserves and youth players, and bemoaning Italy's start to World Cup qualification and all that happy and positive and whatever other words you want to use to describe it. So on that wonderful introduction, we will get going here, and I will bring in Sam Lopresti. Hello, Sam.
It is the our favorite time of year, the first international break after two games. You know, that's just that strategically placed spot. And maybe someday Serie A will actually get with the 21st century and start the season a couple weeks earlier to avoid this sort of thing.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, no.
We've got Chucks. Hello, Coach Chucks.
Hello. Yeah, I coach a U10 soccer team here with my fiance Andrea, and it's been pretty entertaining. We didn't have practice today. I mean, just, well, yeah, due to COVID, but it's quite entertaining to coach with the ones. So quite an experience, and to lift the spirits a little more. Shout out to Memphis Depay for a brilliant hat trick today against Turkey. So he is bang on form. So well done, Memphis.
How did our large Dutch defender do today, Chucks?
Well, I mean, they conceded one goal, so.
Is it his fault?
De Ligt actually didn't even play this game. He played the previous game against Norway, Montenegro. The previous game he did play, so from what I heard, he played well. And this game was De Vrij and Van Dijk. So, looks like it was all right. I mean, they were 6-0 up, and then last minute, 93rd minute, a goal. So that was, it was a little frustrating, but, you know, good victory nonetheless.
Last but not least, Sergio. Hello, Sergio.
Hey, fellas. Happy to be here, as always. Happy to talk about Juventus, despite not a lot going on with Juventus, which is always ripe for some great content. So I'm sure this will be a cracking podcast, I'm sure.
How's CONCACAF qualification going for you, Sergio?
It's going really well, thank you. They've been playing really bad, as usual, but... they're getting results, which at this point is really kind of like all you want from CONCACAF qualification, really, because, I mean, yeah, they've been playing kind of crappy for a few months, but they've been losing. So now they're still playing crappy, but they're actually winning, which, you know, it's a nice change of pace.
One last Mexico question before we get to Juventus. Have you come around on their new jerseys yet?
No, they're weird. They're still kind of weird. I saw something that like they've now gone like 100 plus games. I don't remember the exact amount, but 100 plus games without actually wearing a green kit, which at this point is kind of like, now it's a problem. Like I used to really like the black kits and like the alternate kits, but now it's like just do one that's green. Like that doesn't seem so hard, and they're just not doing it. It's been 100 plus games. Now they have this weird black and pink joint. I don't know. I want to like it, but it it's weird. It also doesn't help that they've been bad, so it's just not really moving the needle for me so far. They'll have it on clearance soon enough, though. So, you know, that's when I make my move usually.
That's right. That's right.
Gotta get back to the green and then you'll start playing better. That's right.
It's a mojo thing. It's a mojo thing. They have no vibes right now. So, yeah, they definitely need a change at the very least when it comes to their kits.
Well, last week's episode was filled with a whole lot of transfer stuff. And because of that, we weren't able to talk about actually one of the week's more important stories for Juventus, and that was the Champions League draw. And obviously the Champions League is one of the things that is back on the schedule as we get out of the international break, which starts off in quite a big way with a trip to Naples to face Luciano Spalletti and his very good Napoli side that have started the season very well. So before we get to Napoli, we'll talk a little Champions League. And I think my initial reaction to it, as I said on the first post of the day after the draw happened, was kind of how I felt about Juventus and Champions League draws the last few years, is that it could have been worse, could have been a little bit better. So what are we thinking about how Juventus did with the Champions League? How are we thinking Juventus might do in the Champions League? Knock on wood, not terrible. And just kind of the thoughts on the group, because it seems like there's two very clear-cut teams that should advance in Juventus and Chelsea, and then kind of two teams that are a little bit further behind the top two squads.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in terms of advancing, that is exactly what that's spot on, is that, you know, Juve are the clear favorite on paper to go through at least second. I don't think we're looking at a situation where we win the group here, not with Chelsea. Last year with Barcelona, you're looking at Barca, they were kind of in the same kind of disarray that we were in heading into that season. And you could kind of think, well, this, you know, anything could go here. Not with this Chelsea. This team is really, really flipping good. You know, like I said, when I previewed the group, they went through the Champions League and won it basically from the back forward, because they didn't really have a striker that was firing on all cylinders. The Timo Werner signing really didn't pan out for them at that point. And now they went and got Lukaku, who's, you know, been one of the most on point strikers in the world the last few years. Consolation, I guess you can say, is that Lukaku's never scored an open play against Juventus in 7 games, and Bonucci and Chiellini seem to always find his number. But even if you were to shut him down, there is so much else that can kill you on this Chelsea team. Guys like Mason Mount, who, you know, played pretty well in the Euro final against Italy for England. Guys like Christian Pulisic, and that midfield of Jorginho and N'Golo Kante is really worlds better than anything Juve has shown themselves able to put out there in the last few years. You know, hopefully something about Manuel Locatelli can kind of put things up a little closer, but I don't think that you can really beat them midfield wise. You know, I would be totally fine with, you know, like I said in that piece, I would be totally fine with losing to them in London, drawing against them in Turin, and taking care of business against the two bottom sides in the group to advance in second place. And also, and I've said this before, winning the group is not the boon that it once was ever since UEFA changed the group stage seeding rules, because now you have so many really, really good teams in pot two that you're always going to get, you know, you're as likely to get a monster team in the second pot, in the unseeded pot going into the knockouts, as you are to get one from the seeded pot. So, you know, Juve just has to focus on getting through this and getting into the knockout rounds, because not only just for the, you know, for sports, for the sake of sporting results, but also getting knocked out so early the last 2 years is one of the things that's really exacerbated the financial problems. I mean, Exor released some financial figures today, and Juventus is closing the fiscal year with a loss of 190.7 million euros. And obviously COVID has a lot to do with that, and empty stadiums have a lot to do with that. But also, you know, a whole ton of the money that went towards picking up guys like Gonzalo Higuain and guys like Ronaldo came from getting from all those deep Champions League runs that they were making, you know, around the Allegri tenure. And that, you know, that given the financial situation of the club, and you know, you looking down the line, seeing the outlays that Juve are going to have to make for guys like Chiesa and Locatelli and Moise Kean, getting into at least the quarterfinals getting into the knockout stage, absolutely vital. And you really want to get into at least the quarterfinals to at least recoup some of that money and maybe make it take the financial pressure off.
Yeah, for once, I don't have to be the resident pessimist. I'm very proud of that, mind you. And I'm very glad I don't have to be that.
Chuck's turning babyface. He's no longer the heel.
Yeah, I know. It's remarkable. I thought I was going to be...
It's like Steve Austin going heel for me. It's just like, yeah, no.
So thank you, Sam, and thank you all, everyone. Yeah, I would just want to recognize that moment. No, I wholeheartedly
would you like to share the load speech here, in a way, Chucks?
Got to share the load.
Take your victory speech, Chucks.
Well, my victory speech is one of pessimism, obviously, because I wholeheartedly agree with Sam. I, you know, also think there's a very, 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 very small chance that we'll top the group in this one. Yeah, like you said, Sam, I mean, Chelsea are really, very, very impressive. You know, I thought under Lampard, I mean, I always kind of took the mickey out of them when they were when Lampard was in charge of them, because I was like, I didn't really take them seriously. You know, I was like, you know, Lampard is a nice guy. I have nothing against Lampard. Obviously, I think he's, you know, just a very respectable and just, you know, just a good guy, but I know his team wasn't particularly good, and I just didn't take them very seriously. Ironically, I also didn't really take Thomas Tuchel very seriously either, because I mean, I thought he did well at PSG, but it always just felt like with PSG that they've always been underperforming a little bit. I mean, sure, they've won the league, but I thought their Champions League performances have always been able to be better. And let's see what they do with Pochettino, and obviously with a certain gentleman by the name of Lionel Messi. But Tuchel has turned it around with Chelsea as well. And like you said, I think the most impressive thing about it is that it really has been built from the back. I mean, their defense is just extremely strong. They don't concede much. And of course, now they have Lukaku. So yeah, I mean, it's, I don't really see us topping the group in that one. And then you got, the Swedish champions, I believe they are. Malmö. I always try to get those Scandinavian names right. But yeah, obviously they're the, you know, fourth seed team. But they're still dangerous. I mean, like Sam mentioned, I think Danny, you mentioned as well, just highlighting the fact that these are all cold climates that we have to travel to Russia and to Sweden. And I mean, England is perpetually cold, I guess. That could be annoying as well, just those winter trips. So, I mean, there's always that chance at the slip up against the Zenit, St. Petersburg. Just always that chance there. So I'm not taking that for granted at all. And more than anything, you know, Juve, we've been getting favorable, round of 16 draws. And also, I'd say group stage draws, we've gotten pretty all right, honestly, the last few years, I think. But I've just stopped saying like, oh, I just want an easy draw, because we've had easy draws in round of 16 and look at how that turned out. So at this point, I just take whatever I get in the group stage and rounds of 16 and beyond. And I just say, okay, let's just get out of this, you know.
For the record, we do get lucky in that we go to Sweden and to Russia in September and October, respectively.
Okay,
so
yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, then it's not blisteringly cold as it could be. So once again, we get lucky. But like I said, we we've had an impressive habit of screwing up luck. So I'm not taking anything for granted. But yeah, I mean, I think overall we should be able to end second, but I doubt it will be easy. But I think eventually we'll get second. And I don't know. I'm skeptical about our chances beyond a group stage, but you know, let's take one step at a time.
Yeah, I'm going vibes only on this because you've all made the serious analysis. I think Chelsea are frauds. I don't respect them at all.
There he is.
I don't know why, because I recognize they're a very good team. They won the Champions League last year. And up until like the last minute of the game, I was like, they're not that good. Like, I mean, they're not that good. And they were lifting the trophy. And I was like, that's a crap team. Like, they're not that good. And so that's one of those things. That's one of those heels I'm willing to die on. So I don't see it as like it was. I think it's a decent draw overall. Like I said, like you guys said, I think Sweden and Russia, they're always funky places to go. We do get lucky a little bit with the scheduling, but, you know, they're still weird place to travel to. You can't discount the fact that, you know, yeah, these dudes are traveling via charter planes and whatnot, but they're still like long distances. Like, I can't imagine that just is like really good for you, like performance wise, to have this long trips. And I mean, I can't imagine that's great, but you know, those guys have to come to Italy too. So I guess it's not that big a deal. I guess they should move forward. I think we avoided some of the, you know, tricky teams in pot three and pot four, like Red Bull Leipzig, for example, like one of those type of teams that can very easily, you know, steal points from you here and there. So I think it's a, you know, I don't want to say an easy draw, but I think it's as favorable as it could have gone for them, I would consider. So yeah, it's exciting. It's, you know, it's always exciting to start a new Champions League season. And I think with the draw that they have, like Sam said, I think that's a key point. The fact that they haven't really gone deep in Champions League play, I think that's a key point in why the team is struggling financially as they are right now. So I will disagree with Chucks. I do hope that we get a very, very easy draw, as easy as possible, you know, so in the round of 16, in the quarterfinals, if we can get just a cupcake, like one of those all-time Real Madrid middle of the decade, you know, draws that they usually get, where they would play every cupcake available until the final. If we can get that, I'm all for it. But so far, so good when it comes to the group. So yeah, decent. I wouldn't say high hopes, but you know, good vibes, I would say, for me in when it comes to group.
We could have been AC Milan.
Remind us of your point of view of Real Madrid, by the way, Sergio.
Oh no, it's just that every time, like, they would get the easiest.
Oh no, he's right. Like,
on their way to the final. Like, look, no,
they'd get like Schalke and like in the round of 16 or whatever, like every year. He's right.
Every year.
Manchester City used to have that as well until this year, but Manchester City always had the most ridiculous draws.
What they did in the Champions League this decade is phenomenal. No one could take it away from them. We'll probably never see like a streak of consistent success in the European stage, especially in a knockout competition that can go so many ways. But also, like, it was all luck, and I respect nothing. So, you know, screw Real Madrid forever.
I share your hatred for them, by the way.
One wild card about especially this first game coming up next week: Malmo is halfway through their season, because the Swedish league is an April to October league. This will be Juve's fourth competitive fixture. That is definitely going to be a trap game, especially going to Sweden for it. And it gets you a little, it makes them nervous. It makes me a little nervous, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and just a point on the schedule again, and again showing how this is relatively favorable just in Juve's favor, which again, we're probably going to find a way to screw it up. But
no, Juventus never does that, Chuck.
So, you know, we're playing Chelsea on match days 2 and 5, which, you know, they're not the very first match day, not the very last match day. That's always the worst to me. Like, if you play like Chelsea on the last match day. And also the last match day is at home to Malmo. And yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, it, it, that's, these are, again, things in our favor. So yeah, we get lucky once again.
Yeah, just, you know, just to finish this segment of Black and White and Malmo all over, I just Googled Malmo. Really beautiful city. Like, it looks awesome. Like, I would definitely love to travel to Malmo. Like, that sounds like a really cool place to go. I encourage everyone listening to this to Google Malmo. Also, like, the fifth result is it safe to travel to Malmo? Probably. Yeah, it's Sweden. I would say it's pretty safe. So yeah, not never been there, but I would assume it's pretty safe.
Who do you think gets the stoppage time goal in the against one of the smaller teams this year? It's been 2 years running that we've needed one. It was Morata last year, it was Douglas Costa the year before.
That's a good question.
Shilio.
That's a good question.
If he isn't injured or something at the time, I mean, Lord knows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Well, it's funny that you bring up DeCiglio, Chucks, because knowing the situation that Juventus is in coming out of the international break, and if you listeners aren't privy to how some of the international fixtures are currently scheduled, is that Juventus's South American contingent essentially has, oh, I don't know, probably about 24 hours to get back to Turin between their last World Cup qualifier and then Juventus's game against Napoli. So, hey, Como Ball, you know, nicely done there. So very much since Juventus's fullback position is South American heavy, it is quite the possibility that Mattia DeCiglio could be appearing against Napoli, which, well, boy, and I guess we'll transition into the Napoli talk there, because we have been kind of stewing on the fact that Juventus has gotten all of 1 point through the first two games of the season. And then you have some of Juve's best players not back with the team until, like I said, right before kickoff, essentially. So I don't know how to feel about this Napoli game, knowing one, how Juventus has played to begin the season, two, knowing that a good chunk of important players are gonna probably not start. And then you factor in Napoli has started the season very well. And I don't know, I guess I'm just setting myself up to be grumpy this weekend. How are you guys feeling?
Not great, to be honest. I mean, we're going to be looking at a bit of a depth crunch going in with, you know, not only the fullback spots, but also, you know, up front. You doubt Dybala would start, although he hasn't played a lot of minutes for Argentina over the international break. And of course, Argentina didn't have much of a game over the weekend. That was a fiasco.
Let me jump in real quick and say that it is Max Allegri's history in terms of South American players, because they obviously usually make the longest distance traveled back to Italy. Yeah. He doesn't necessarily play a lot of his South American players from the start in fixtures right out of the international break. Obviously, no, Juventus right. aren't playing Napoli every time they come out of an international break. So, you know, the game has bigger stakes this weekend, but yeah.
Yeah, that's very much a thing to point out. And, you know, it makes you look at who's available. You know, Federico Chiesa will have played 2.5 games coming out of the Italy qualifiers. You assume he'll start next week. You assume that Manuel Locatelli will start. He's probably played, he'll probably have played, you know, 2.5 games. It's slightly heartening to think that, to note that the two of them have probably been the best players for Italy over the international break so far. Locatelli was wonderful against Switzerland. And if anybody on the front line of Italy could actually, you know, score a freaking goal, things would have been a lot different in the Italian press. But yeah, I mean, you have to wonder, you know, who starts up front, who starts in the middle, like who starts anywhere, because there's, you know, we're looking at a lot of guys that are going to be playing a lot of minutes because these international breaks have been so condensed since COVID with 3 games apiece. And then you look at the Napoli side, and you know, Lorenzo Insigne left the national team this week today for personal reasons. I believe those personal reasons start with a J and end with an S. He left. I don't think there's any question in my mind. He's like, Napoli are playing Juventus, I'm out. Whereas Chiesa will probably be playing. Also, Napoli are getting Victor Osimhen back because he won his suspension, his appeal against his 2-game suspension. So he'll only have to be suspended 1, which is some nonsense to me because he punched a dude in the throat and he somehow only gets 1 game on the appeal. But, you know, Napoli are going to be relatively full strength. And depending on how Allegri decides to play it, Juve will very much not be. And Juve have already been playing really poorly this year. I don't know. The math doesn't look good right now. And you know, it's, you know, this is a big week coming up. You look Napoli, Champions League, and then Milan. That's a rough week. And it's kind of concerning to think that, you know, through 4 games in Serie A, we could still be sitting on 1 point. It wouldn't surprise me. And that's why this game is really, really important. We've got to get something going to make the team and frankly the fans believe that they've got something in the tank, because right now it's hard to see it.
Yeah, what I'm looking for in the Napoli game is just, so what were the errors from, for instance, the loss against Empoli? Well, as we talked about last time,
where to begin, Chucks?
Yeah, that'll everything. Be a whole podcast. Yeah. that would be a whole podcast in itself. In fact, it was, which was episode 62. So tune in for that, or go back in your podcast feed to find that. But obviously, one of the big mistakes from that game was just the fact that tactically, I mean, nobody really knew what was going on. Nobody really knew what formation we were playing and how and why and, you know, what was going on. So, I mean, that would hopefully be one of just the main things that we would solidify and just, I mean, if we could get a draw, you know, obviously it's a poor start to the season, but these are tough games. I mean, this is Napoli and then subsequently Milan. So, you know, yeah, I mean, at least just stabilize the ship a little bit and hopefully stop shipping in goals, because, I mean, once again, we're on double digits of consecutive games of not having a clean sheet. So that, those are just kind of 2 things on top of my mind. Erasing the glaring errors of the game against the loss against Empoli, pardon, and just a clean sheet, please, please.
Much like Mexico never playing with a green kit, like it's like the streak is getting there for Juventus without a clean sheet. Like I think now it's like 16 or 17 games going back to last season when they haven't kept a clean sheet, when they've allowed at least 1 goal, which is pretty nuts to think about. Like it's, you know, you have, look, say what you will, you have good defenders. like that's a Matthijs de Ligt being back there. That's a Giorgio Chiellini playing. That's a Leonardo Bonucci. Yes, they were, you know, being coached by Andrea Pirlo last year, whatever. But I mean, 16, 17 games, I don't remember the exact amount, but without keeping a clean sheet is crazy to me. So, yeah, let's hope they can actually turn that around. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. This is going to be one of those games that, you know, obviously it's early, but in the golden days of the Allegri teams, this were the kind of games that they would grit and grind and get a result. Like, they would play ugly, but they would get a result. And I am not super confident that that is going to happen right now. You know, taking away the fact that I don't think Juventus will be favored, that I believe that they will probably drop points. It's just going to be interesting to see the depth. I think a lot of guys are going to get chances early on that they would not have gotten otherwise. A guy like Luca Pellegrini, for example, I think this is his shot to finally get some playing time. And this is a guy that we've just heard about for years now, and he just hasn't really made a dent on the team. In the final days of the transfer deadline, I was seeing reports that he might go on another loan. And I just thought, if he cannot find minutes in this Juventus squad, maybe Pellegrini just sucks. Maybe he's just bad, because this is not a particularly daunting depth chart when it comes to that left wing. So I think, you know, this is kind of like a make or break year for him, because the minutes are there to be had. So I think he'll have a shot. I think a guy like Federico Bernardeschi, who I know was called up to the Italian national team, but I think he's going to probably get yet another shot at getting minutes. It's going to be a chance for a lot of the guys that are usually rotational players to actually, you know, get minutes. And that would probably not look pretty on the field, but who knows? Maybe someone out there kind of like proves their worth and you know, makes their case for more minutes moving forward in the season. So that's really what I'm looking for, what I'm looking forward to in terms of, you know, the depth of the team, like who's going to be playing. I think that's going to be interesting to watch. Will that result in a good scoreline for Juventus? Probably not. But it's going to be, at the very least, it's going to be interesting to watch, especially, you know, another guy, like, we can talk about it a little bit later, but a guy, Moise Kean, the new/old signing, I think this is as good a chance as any for him to you know, start a game and to actually start getting minutes and kind of pick up where he left off. So that's like, I'm excited to look to see that. But other than that, yeah, this is looking not that great. And also, I looked at the Victor Osimhen punch. What's a punch in the throat between friends? Like, that's just guys being guys. Like, that's, you know, good stuff. I'm happy that he's playing.
Yeah, attaboy. Like the good old days. Eh?
Fellas being fellas.
Yeah, indeed. Now, as we mentioned before recording, as we mentioned also as well, with just in terms of the team selection, and, you know, you mentioned Pellegrini, that, you know, Max Allegri generally doesn't really like using players from South America after an international break, just because of all the travel that they do, especially now with, you know, three games during the break, plus then as well, oh, just all the shenanigans going on in South America, as I'm sure people read about with the Argentina versus Brazil game. That was quite extraordinary indeed. Yeah, so just that, you know, the quarantine restrictions that, you know, players arriving there had to do, and I believe might also have to do when coming back from Italy, I'm not sure. But just, you know, given all that, yeah, who knows if players like Bentancur will play, who I heard picked up a knock, or, you know, Dybala, Dybala wasn't called up, but Cuadrado, rather. So, yeah, I don't know. That makes even bigger argument for someone like Pellegrini to step up. And, you know,
Dybala was called up.
He was? Okay.
He just hasn't played much.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see how many players returning from South America will frankly be fit to play. I mean, that's a lot of travel, and just with all the COVID protocols, I mean, that's also, you know, just... yeah, tough to deal with. So, we'll see if Allegri wants to play them.
One of the interesting parts about all the travel they have to do is that just a simple fact of where Juventus is playing this weekend. Because, you know, if they played in Turin, it wouldn't, I mean, it'd still be a thing, but it wouldn't be as big of a thing. But knowing that Juventus has done a lot of their travel to away matches the same day, Napoli isn't one of those places where you can travel the same day, especially knowing when the game is. I mean, it's a, what I'm trying to do the math in my head, it's a 6 p.m. kickoff in Italy, so it's not necessarily a late game. So if you think about if all the South Americans, which it's not like they're all on one team, so they can't just say fly together. Yeah, it's just, do they go straight to Naples? Do they go to Turin, try and maybe get a COVID test or two, and then head to Napoli? I mean, I don't know. So it's just a logistical nightmare in terms of when both the South American qualifiers are and when Juventus plays. And I mean, I can't remember anything like this ever happening. And I mean, like you said, Chuck, it's just kind of the absurdity of packing in another match into the international break when, you know, we had become so accustomed to, you know, teams play their last qualifier on a Tuesday or Wednesday, and they're back in training for a couple of days before the games happen again. So yeah, it's just, it's stupid. Very stupid.
Yeah. And also, I remember Tim Vigri was, of course, Tim Vigri.
Thanks.
No, I've had a cup of tea before recording, so that's why it sounds so groovy. I remember Tim Vigri was saying that just after the whole Argentina versus Brazil, just madness going on there, he argued, and I think this makes a lot of sense, Conmebol should have just basically scrapped the Copa America for last summer and used that time to catch up on qualifiers, which I think that would have made some sense. Frankly, it's a lot easier to cancel a Copa America than it is, for example, a, you know, Euro 2020, or especially given the anniversary edition that was the Euro 2020, or yeah, you know, another region. So it would have just been easier just from a marketing commercial standpoint and just a PR standpoint to have canceled the Copa America and then taken that month basically to play. I mean, you could have fit in probably 3-4 qualifiers in that month, and then everybody goes off to summer. I think that would have been, yeah, definitely would have been smart, but I'm just some guy on the internet.
Just to Danny's point about the travel, I mean, Frecciarossa also gets you from Turin to Naples in just around 4 hours. It's not a huge schlep. I mean, especially given the amenities on a Freccia. I mean, doesn't Juve have a sponsorship agreement with them? I imagine they have something cooking.
Do they, Chuck? You're the businessman.
I'm just some guy on the internet, like a wise man named Sergio, let's say.
I think they do, and they could probably make that trip. But I mean, you know, unfortunately, I was never a professional athlete, so I wouldn't know. But you know, I'm guessing that traveling 4 hours, what I'm assuming super early in the morning, right? Like getting there, warming up or whatever, playing, and then coming back the same day. Like, I don't think it would be super conducive to, you know, to like a top performance, but who knows? I mean, at this point, like with the way that this schedule is set up, I mean, anything is on the table.
I mean, it's not an ideal situation to fly halfway around the world and then try and play one of your biggest rivals.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I would agree with that.
Well, as the great Ludacris once said, sometimes it's not great to be all over the world, baby. I've been places you've never imagined.
From Tim Vickery to Ludacris within a couple of minutes, Chuck, you are...
Yeah, man, he's still
on top form today, my friend.
I mean, I don't really listen to him, but I mean, he hasn't really produced anything besides a few random movies a few years ago.
The Fast and Furious movies are not random movies.
Oh, God. Well, Lord knows. They might as well just make a 10th one just to round it off.
Right? Oh, they will. Not?
Maybe they'll actually go to space this time.
Right. They should. That's the only place Dominic Toretto has not conquered yet.
I mean, if Jeff Bezos can do it, hey, why not you?
All right, well, we'll wrap things up with a little not-so-positive talk, and I guess that's kind of how we discussed Juventus's form over the last 10 to 15 minutes. But Weston McKennie has been in the news for all of the wrong reasons the last couple of days, and just a Cliff Notes version of it, he was suspended before the United States' World Cup qualifier against Canada over the weekend, and it came out that he was suspended because of a breach in COVID protocol. And that is, I believe, probably a sign that not only is the U.S. being very strict on their protocol because of a outbreak within the team, but obviously McKinney did something that is not so great away from the field. And there's been some reporting by ESPN saying that he brought somebody back with him to the hotel, and they essentially, he broke the bubble that the U.S. men's national team was trying to create within their time in Tennessee. And unfortunately for McKinney, this is not the first time in 2021 where he has been at the center of a COVID protocol breach. And I think I've said it before, you know, in my line of profession, they say that three is a trend. Well, Weston McKinney is on number two in terms of COVID protocol trouble. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely worrying for me to see a player that I think could be very useful to the squad continue to have disciplinary issues. But, you know, when your national team is sending you back a couple days early and they've obviously got very important matches still ahead of themselves, it's not exactly shining a bright light on the player.
Well, you've got to enforce discipline regardless. Otherwise it gets a little too crazy. I mean, I think you remember it was 3 years ago, I think, when Moise Kane and Nicolo Zaniolo were suspended before a big game in the under-21 European Championships by Italy for being late to meetings or training. And it turned out that there was like the eighth or ninth time that had happened, which is just a lack of control on the team's part. I mean, in that particular case, the coach of the under-21 team was Gigi DiBiagio, who is a garbage coach. So, you know, that makes sense that he didn't have control over it, but you have to exert that control. And problem is Juve did the same thing when McKinney had his lapse in March or April, and he doesn't seem to have learned from it. And that's a problem. I don't necessarily have a problem with mistakes if you learn from them. If you don't, and you just keep on doing it, then we have an issue. And, you know, I mean, I guess you could almost see it as a silver lining that he's back a little early, especially considering the fact that, you know, with Bentancur having come back very late and also a little bit banged up, he's probably going to be needed on Saturday. But he's, I mean, and, you know, he's young, he's 23, he's probably living life really, really high. And he's making a lot of mistakes. I think that I personally think that this is that certain things are being a little overblown. You know, Landon Donovan talking about how the relationship between him and his teammates in the national team is almost beyond repair. That's just Landon being over dramatic again and wanting to be the center of attention, because, you know, we've seen that from him before. But this is something that he needs to nip in the bud, or maybe in the stem now, because the bud was in March. You can't keep on repeating this. You gotta learn now. This is where the rubber meets the road for him, because if he starts turning into a discipline case like that, that'll affect him with Juventus, affect him everywhere he goes from now on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have too many thoughts on it besides what you said, Sam. I guess in general, I would caution people, and like you alluded to, Sam, just caution people to not jump to conclusions too quickly. As far as I know, and, you know, we just discussed this off air, as far as we know, there aren't any like official accounts of what actually happened, what McKinney actually did. So, you know, I'm cautious to jump to conclusions just yet. But I mean, I think we have a vague idea of what happened. And yeah, it doesn't sound good. But yeah, the Landon Donovan thing, that is strange, because to me, it's like, you know, he comes on this podcast of, I think it was Grant Wall's podcast. And I mean, I didn't listen to it, but I just read a few comments about it, that the general gist was, you know, he was saying, oh, I can't talk about what happened, but I know what happened. And I don't want to talk about it because it would be like, I don't know, you know, just like unprofessional or whatever. But then he's essentially coming on a podcast to talk about it. So I'm just like, okay, if you don't want to talk about it, then don't come on a podcast. Don't just like don't talk to any type of media at all. But then here you are talking about it, saying you don't want to talk about it. So I'm just, make up your mind, you know, talk about it or don't talk about it. That I just, I don't know. I thought that was kind of an odd inconsistency there. Yeah, you know, besides that, I'm just curious to see what McKennie will do, just how he will respond publicly. If Juventus has to get involved with it, which I suppose they won't, because I mean, it's a national team matter, I suppose. But
I was able to gather from Juve's short recap of training on Tuesday, which is when we're recording here, is that McKennie was part of the small group that resumed training after having a break. So as of right now, it doesn't seem like Juventus are going to do anything. Whether that changes once they can, I don't know, maybe sit down with them and try and actually figure out what happened, who knows. But as of right now, it seems like in terms of discipline from the club, nothing is going to happen.
Yeah, and I suppose there's not much they could do. I mean, it's out of their jurisdiction, I think. However, there was an interesting case. I mean, with, again, referencing the Argentina-Brazil fiasco, I think I did read that Tottenham was going to fine Cristiano Romero and I forget the other player. Just trying to look it up real quick as we were talking. But anyway, I know that.
I think it is.
Who was that?
Yeah, I think it's Lo Celso.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, thank you. That was the other one. Yeah, I did read that Spurs were going to fine those two players because of, supposedly because of their responsibility with the whole thing. Well, I can't find the... Oh, yeah, I did find the article. So, yes, Spurs have to fine Lo Celso and Romero after the pair was involved in fixture suspension. Well, anyway. I guess that is possibly a precedent for Juve having some kind of, permission to get involved with this and with McKennie. I don't know, maybe.
I mean, there's a little bit more to that in that, like, I think the allegation is that they forged or lied about things on their customs form, which would directly affect Tottenham as their employer. Which I think is a little bit different. So I think there's a little bit of a different situation in that regard, but who knows?
Yeah. I mean, that definitely is true. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I mean, overall, I don't expect Juve to get involved with it, but yeah, just hope, you know, McKennie just, I don't know, apologize, just sort it out with the US and just, I mean, I hope he deals with this just professionally and just in dignified manner, because the last thing we need is, you know, another... Yeah, controversy, another player involved controversy. So, but I mean, I don't know. I have faith that he will. And yeah, let's hope so.
It's from the whole, you know, controversy or whatever you want to call it, I don't really have two main takeaways. One is that, you know, as a resident 20-year-old in the podcast, I'm not counting Chucks because I know we're technically the same age, but, you know, spiritually, Chucks is between 40 and 50. So
I'm not. Go on, push it up to 60. Then go on.
And I'm, you know, and, you know, mentally and spiritually, I'm at best 15. So I think I'm much more
qualified
to talk about it. And, you know, it's just like Sam alluded to, the dude, he's like in his early 20s. From the reports and whatnot, it looks like he, what was the professional way they phrased it? He brought someone, you know, outside of the bubble back to the hotel or whatever. Like, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, if you want to find leeway, you're going to be able to find leeway and say like, oh, he's a young guy. Like, he didn't really do anything necessarily wrong. But at the same time, like you guys said, like, this is, you know, this is the second time that he's done something like this. I can't imagine that if it was something, you know, less, I would say less egregious, that the United States would send him back home. I think that was just a very kind of like harsh punishment if you want to, you know, find some leeway in it. So maybe there's some other stuff going on there. Who knows? But yeah, I like that's my first takeaway is that it doesn't reflect well on him. especially, it's just going to add, you know, fire, fuel to a fire of, you know, him being transferred out. Those rumors are, you know, creeping back again. Now it's actually in the January transfer window, apparently, that they want to ship him out. Who knows? He's not doing himself any favors. And especially because he's not like the little we've seen up from him in a Juve kit with Allegri, you know, obviously small sample size, but he hasn't looked all that great. He hasn't looked all that comfortable. And for a guy that's just, you know, I mean, and this shouldn't be, but if you're not a superstar level player, like this type of things, they're just like, they are not going to just let it be. Like, I think it would be very different if, you know, if the best player of the team, if Federico Chiesa gets sent back by COVID, like, oh, they'll probably turn a blind eye to it. But, you know, if it's a guy that doesn't really have a set place in the squad, then, you know, those type of things definitely, you know, go against you. So that's my first takeaway. And the second one is, sorry, Sam.
So Juve did. I mean, you remember in January, Ronaldo violated like four different COVID protocols to go skiing with his girlfriend for her birthday, and they didn't do jack. And they didn't do jack to him.
Yeah, and exactly.
And then they suspend Dybala, Artur, and McKennie a couple of months later for something that was, frankly, less of a deal because, you know, Ronaldo like crossed regional boundaries to get to whatever skiing resort that he went to, whereas McKennie just had a house party. I mean, that's what happened. I mean,
yeah, it's like I said, it shouldn't be, but we see that. And it's not even a Juve thing specifically. It's like every single sports organization in every single league in the world is just going to have a bigger, like a longer leash for superstar guys than for guys that are, you know, death pieces. I mean, that it is what it is. So for a guy that, you know, as we stand here today, does not have a, you know, like a secure spot in the starting 11, just this type of things definitely don't help your case. So that, you know, that's number one. And number two, it doesn't make sense to me, you know, the COVID protocol, obviously what he did was outside of the bubble, whatever. But, you know, I mean, you're talking about, they're doing the qualifiers. They're traveling all over the place. I know they're kind of like isolating a little bit, or, you know, they have a quote unquote bubble. I get that, but there's no way that they can possibly have an actual super safe, super secure bubble if you're traveling internationally every 2-3 days. I mean, it's just, it's impossible. So it strikes me as a weird thing to kind of let a guy out to dry. And I understand it was like a rules thing. I get that. But it's like, I don't know. It just felt to me a little bit hypocritical to be like, oh no, you broke COVID protocol, you're out, and then we're sending you right back to Italy, so another international travel, and now he's training. So it feels like a weirdly applied thing. I get it's a rule, I get he shouldn't have done that, but it's like it's a bit odd. But then again, everything with this, you know, pandemic is a bit odd, so it is what it is. So yeah, I guess that would be my two big takeaways. Hopefully this doesn't, you know, mess with his, you know, with him mentally or something, and he just comes back to Juve ready to go, ready to get a place in the starting 11. He will probably get a chance just because of how the team is right now. So let's hope he has a good game this upcoming weekend.
Not just traveling internationally, but traveling to a country in the United States, which three of the four of us currently live in, obviously is not in a currently good state when it comes to the virus. And I'm just looking at Tennessee's numbers in terms of COVID right now. And let's just say they have a rolling average, a 7-day rolling average of close to 7,000 cases a day. So good times.
Oh, and they're going to
the bubble.
Where do the national team plays next? Like the United States, like Honduras, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, so I guarantee you they're not doing great with the virus either. Like no one is. So it's one of those things that I don't know. Just they probably shouldn't be having those qualifiers. But hey, it is what it is.
All right. Well, on on that happy note, we will wrap things up here. As always, you can listen to us on your favorite podcasting platform, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Apple iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. You can also send us your Twitter questions, which will hopefully return next week to us at Juventus Nation. As always, you can follow us on social media there. Hopefully, Juventus will put us in a good mood this coming weekend, no matter how many South Americans play. So on that note, for Sam and for Chucks and for Sergio, this is Danny saying thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.